Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Episode 6 of the Monday Waffle. I'm one of your co-hosts, Luke Shipway. Alongside me today is Poppy Penny, and a newcomer to the Monday Waffle show, Danny Kavanagh.
Hi,
welcome,
guys.
Ladies.
Welcome.
Hello.
Just before we get on and recap this weekend's games, which saw one blowout and the other two games were reasonably close, there's some news around the Waffle. It kind of relates a bit more to the AFL as well. Anthony Morabito, former Fremantle Docker, struggled with injuries throughout his career at the Dockers, is now returned into the Waffle, played reserves for Claremont on the weekend, had 9 touches. Obviously, I don't think he really saw it in the game because of they're putting him in cotton wool a little bit, Claremont.
Be a bit
but
cautious. He's got to run around a little bit.
Good to see him back, though.
Yeah, really good. He was so luckless with injury at Freo. Really good to see him get out there and get a little bit of the ball as well.
And also another former AFL star, Chris Yan. He's obviously finished his time at Richmond. He wanted to come home, homesick reasons, I believe. Maybe a bit of mental health issues there. Stuff like that going around. He had 15 touches. This was his second game with the reserves at Swans, as he had 15 touches and looked a bit better from all reports that had gone around the ground. A bit more speed under his legs, a bit more run. You know, another game obviously helps with that.
Yeah, it's amazing what coming home can do for somebody. His footy looks much better at the Swans than it did at Richmond for a long time.
Yeah, and the question is, though, are these guys, you know, are they going to be able to return to the AFL? That's the question that everyone's thinking, not just, like, are they going to be able to come back and play league footy? Are they going to actually be able to make an AFL return? And that's something that it's probably a long shot, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Especially with Morabito still being quite young. I mean, he might get another shot.
The AFL scouts will be having a look across the Waffle, not just in league, maybe in reserves, to see what type of production those guys are putting forward.
And there's a little bit of news coming out of East Perth about the alignment, Luke?
Yeah, East Perth director Tom Percy on Friday, I believe it was, he claimed that the alignment should end for East Perth and the Eagles. And he did it over Facebook in response to an article The West had done earlier in the week saying that the alignment is killing East Perth. So not the proper way to do it if you're a director of a football club is to do it over Facebook, but it's come out and he says that the alignment is killing East Perth and he wants to see it gone.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the game on the weekend, it looks like having those Eagles players might have saved them.
Yeah, that's the interesting topic there. Sometimes people think that it's killing East Perth or it's you know, killing the Waffle, but obviously, you know,
if it helps you get your first win in the season,
exactly.
You can't really, you can't kick them out yet.
I guess it hasn't helped them earlier in the season, though. But
maybe that's why they're losing all the games, don't have the right culture going down there.
Yeah. Another news topic. Unfortunately for East Fremantle, they're going to have to continue playing at East Fremantle Oval for probably the next 4 to 5 years, it looks like, as the redevelopment for Fremantle Oval hasn't started yet and doesn't look like they'll be able to get there in the next couple of years.
Stuck there for 5 years.
That's a shame.
That's not good.
If anyone's been to East Fremantle Oval, it's not the greatest of facilities.
No, I can't imagine them improving their season having to play and train at East Frio Oval.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Round 6 in the Waffle kicked off on Saturday at 2:15. All 3 matches were at 2:15. Claremont and Subiaco was the first one we'll be discussing. And Claremont, they've gone down again in not a very good display from them. They lost by 55 points, second week in a row that they've lost by a margin like this. And they got off to a good start, but then just fell away really late.
And they were absolutely in the game until three-quarter time. They were level at halftime and are down by only a goal at three-quarter time. And Subi just absolutely kicked away in the last quarter.
And good news for Subi, their fifth win in a row.
Yeah, and Claremont, this was very disappointing for them after they won their first 3 games of the year against East Perth, Perth and East Fremantle. And to lose to South Fremantle and Subi, who were going to be up there in the Waffle, it doesn't show good signs for them, although They had a few injuries last week. I think they missed a few guys this week as well. But they went down 15-10, 100 to 6-9, 45.
It's really not a very impressive display, especially to tire like that in the last quarter.
Yeah, and once again, Liam Ryan.
Oh, good
game. We had him on the show the other week. Another outstanding performance, kicking five goals, 16 touches.
He's a star.
Five marks. Yeah, looking good. And Ben Sokol, who's also been in impressive form this year for the Lions, he kicked another three goals from seven kicks and four marks. And yeah, Chris Phelan, who we had on the show last week, he's racking up another heavy possession game. He's got 34 to go with 11 inside 50 entries.
And over on the Claremont side, Bailey Banfield fought the good fight for the losers, did what he could, I suppose.
Yeah, he had 27 and Ryan Lim had 22. Reigning Sandover medalist Jai Bolton, who was injured last week, thought he might miss a few weeks. He actually played and had 21. Looking ahead to next week, Subiaco's got the bye. Claremont play Swan Districts. And earlier today, I was joined by Claremont Tiger defender Kiefer Yu. Kiefer, welcome to the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Yeah, no dramas. Kiefer, obviously, last couple of weeks have been some tough losses for Claremont. What do you guys think you need to improve on to then come out with a win this weekend against Swans?
I think last two games have been in it for pretty much three quarters, and then the last quarters have let us down in the last 2 weeks. Against South, we probably let off with we had none on the bench towards the end of that game, but on the weekend, there are no excuses. Had a bit of a lapse in the last quarters.
Yeah, you talked about the injuries there you had a couple of weeks ago. You also had some late exclusions from the match on this weekend. Tommy Lee and Matt Davis, will they be all right for this weekend's clash?
Hopefully, yeah, they both get up. I think they should be all right.
So what there, Tommy was with the shoulder, and what was Matt's issue?
Dave just had a tight hamstring, I think.
You've been playing a bit of a half-back role this year, averaging 16 touches. How have you found your form this year?
Yeah, not too bad. When we're going well, it's better. But when we're losing, it's sort of get a bit more scrutinised.
Yeah, and you've obviously had to man up on some of the quicker forwards for the opposition. Were you on Liam Ryan at all this weekend?
No, that one was left to Harry McCracken. And a bit of a team job. Yeah. He seemed to kick a couple goals.
So looking forward to this weekend's matchups against Swan Districts. They've obviously had a good start to the season, but they unfortunately lost this weekend for them. They are a lot of ex-AFL stars. How will you be looking to combat them?
Yeah, they got a few back. They also get the home crowd advantage. Their Swanee supporters are pretty vocal. I think we just need to play four quarters of hard footy. I don't think we've actually done that in the last two games. So it'll be a tough game, and hopefully we get on top.
No worries, Kiefer. Thanks for joining me here on the Monday Waffle Podcast, and good luck this weekend.
Cheers, chippers.
So now on to West Perth and Swan Districts. That was a thrilling game, really close, and West Perth got up by 5 points in the end. Yeah. What do we think?
Well, I mean, looking at West Perth, the bowl winners for them, Aaron Black had 47.
That is huge.
That stands out. And partner in crime, Shane Nelson, wasn't too far behind with 39.
I know. They are huge ball winners, and they're the reason that West Perth is going to get over the line in these close games during the year, if they can stay fit getting possessions like that.
Yeah, it was a good response to a couple of weeks ago when they lost by 103 points. So the boys are coming back now.
Had a couple of wins in a row, getting a bit of momentum.
Yeah, and for Swans, it was their first loss of the season.
Oh, that is disappointing.
Yeah. They've been looking good throughout the start of the year, obviously picking up a lot of ex-AFL players. They've had a strong start to the year. But West Perth, they've kind of brought them back to reality with a 5-point win. And, I mean, if you look at other ball winners for West Perth, Trent Manzone had 33. Any other day, you'd be saying 33 is probably leading possession getter, but not with
best on ground with that, usually.
Not with Nelson and Black,
not with Nelson and Black doing 47 and 39 apiece. So very good game for West Perth. Obviously, a lot of their midfielders were able to get their hands on the ball a lot, which would have helped in their win over Swan Districts.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michael Lurie also kicked three, only had the 8 disposals, but was fairly effective with them.
Scott Simpson also, he had another strong performance, finishing with 18 possessions, 7 marks and 32 hitouts. In the loss for Swans, Jamie Bunnell, he gave good drive off halfback for the Swan Districts with 26 possessions and 6 marks.
Adam Faulkner for the Swans also, he had 34 touches. And down at Leaderville Oval, Danny, you and I went to watch East Perth take on Perth. And it was a pretty close game up until half time. East Perth had a humongous third quarter to get over Perth, 17-13, 115 to 14-11, 95. What did you think of the game, Danny?
Yeah, it was a pretty good game. Perth tried to come back at the end, but it was just too little too late. They couldn't do it. A lot of skill errors, which let them down, I think, throughout the game. But a solid game from East Perth. The Eagles players, obviously, best on ground.
Yeah, well, that third quarter really cost them. East Perth kicked 6 to Perth's 1, and that kind of performance is just not going to win you games of football.
No, not at all. And especially when you've got Fraser McGuinness playing a really good game, 24 possessions, 13 marks, 8 hitouts, and 3 goals.
Yeah, along with Kurt Mutimer, who had 28 touches, and he also kicked a goal.
Yeah, and you know you've got Mark Hutchings out, who had 28 touches, 6 marks and 2 goals. So that was really helping their midfield.
For Perth, there were a few that tried. I mean, Clint Jones had 53 touches, which is a remarkable performance considering that they lost. And then Aidan Tropiano also had 39. So there were some really strong performances for Perth.
Yeah, and their reigning fair and best winner, Michael Sinclair, he had 31 possessions and 10 marks. So pretty solid as well.
Yeah, there were a few that really gave their all, but it just wasn't enough. East Perth were really solid across the board. And like you said, a lot of those alignment West Coast players playing really, really well. So it is interesting that their director is still kind of gunning for the alignment to end, despite the fact that I think without the West Coast players, Perth would definitely have gotten over the line.
And especially with Perth coming off a bye and a win before that, they were really looking to take on the game.
Yeah, a little bit of momentum, we thought. But East Perth getting their first win for the season. Now, our very own Tash Tunney, she caught up with one of the East Perth boys in Mark Hutchings after the game.
So how important was this win to you guys, considering it was the first one of the season?
Yeah, very important. It's always nervous times when you're 0-4, 0-5. I don't know what it was, but yeah, good to get the first win of the season. And yeah, just for us to build momentum off it now. Good, hasn't been the ideal start to the season, but yeah, we can get some momentum now, and it's always good when you get a win, builds confidence. So.
Yeah, you guys have a good record against Perth. Do you think that do you take that into account? Do you think that helps?
Yeah, I mean, every year is different. Squads change, teams change. And we didn't really mention it before the game, the history of it, because history sort of doesn't win you games. But yeah, well, we're confident if we can play our best, we can beat every team. So that's what we were focusing on this week.
Yeah, cool. And it was pretty close up until half time. Did the coach have any hard words at you at the break?
No hard words, but we had plenty of scoring shots. We had more scoring shots than them, so we were definitely in the game. Third quarter was good for us, got a good buffer, and held on in the end. 3 goals, whatever it was, so that was good.
And are there any up-and-coming players that we should watch out for in the team that you think, other than yourself, anyone up-and-coming?
Oh, well, Bolton, Bolts, he debuted for us today. He looked really lively up forward. A small forward, kicked a goal, kicked his first goal in his first game, so boys are really happy for him. And that's all you can ask for from a debutant, just to play their strengths. He's quick, makes a contest, great pressure, so boys are really happy with how he played today.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
It's Anzac weekend, so there was 3 games played on Saturday and 1 still to remain. The Anzac Day clash, or the Fremantle Derby, East Fremantle versus South Fremantle.
Very exciting. You would expect South Fremantle to roll East Fremantle, but you never know with a derby, anything can happen.
And Bounce Down is at 4:10 and it's telecast actually on 7 Mate, so everyone should watch that one.
Big day of football on Tuesday, which is a bit of a treat.
And we got our picks up next, and I think if East Fremantle are able to beat South Fremantle, then I think it's going to mess a lot of people's tipping up.
This is Poppy's Picks on the Monday Waffle. It's that time of the podcast. It's time for Poppy's Picks. And we obviously can't give you a round recap yet because the round is not quite over. So we'll just move straight into next week. There are only 3 games next week. So I'm going to tip the Swan Districts next week. I'm tipping them to bounce back. I'm going to tip Wests after their couple of very good weeks to get over Perth. And I'm going to tip Peel over East Perth, despite the fact that East Perth won this week. What about you, Danny?
I'm doing the exact same. I think you've got it right there, Poppy.
And I think I might mix it up again. Just going over the games previewing for next week. Swan Districts are playing Claremont at Steel Blue Oval at 2:15. And I'm going to go Swans as well, although I'm a Claremont supporter, but don't hate me, Claremont boys. Anyway,
they're having a rough time.
The next match is another 2:15 game on the Saturday is West Perth and Perth, and that's at HBF Arena in Joondalup, and I'm also going to go West Perth. This is where I'm going to switch it up. It's the alignment clash, Peel versus East Perth at Bendigo Bank Stadium in Mandurah, and I'm going to go with East Perth, and that match is at 2:40.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Obviously, this week with South Freo and East Freo playing on the Tuesday, they've got the bye on the weekend along with Subiaco. And Danny, how's the ladder looking?
Well, Subiaco are up the top with 20 points. South Freo and Swans are both on 16. And to remember, though, South and East Freo haven't played yet, so the ladder could change. Swans are on 16, like I said. Fourth is Claremont with 12, West Perth as well. And then we fall down to Peel at 8 points, Perth and East at 4, and East Fremantle at the bottom with not having won a single game yet.
Well, you never know. They could get up on the weekend and jump over East Perth and Perth.
It'll be hard to see, but for the Sharks' sake, I hope they do get up over South Fremantle. It'll be a heck of a game if they could win that. That's all we got today on episode 6 of the Monday Waffle. I'm Luke Chipway.
I'm Danny Kavanagh.
And I'm Poppy Penny, and you've been listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.